Like you imagine a scene with me, okay? A rich relative just shows up at your house. Just maybe you haven't seen them in a long time or even ever met them before, which probably is the case, or anyways, because all of us wish we had rich relatives that just showed up to do what I'm about to ask you to imagine. So imagine your rich relative shows up and says, "I would like to buy you a car. Not just any car. I want to buy you your dream car. The car you've always wished you could have and afford. I want to buy it for you just to do something real special." So what kind of a car might that be? Just think about that for a second and maybe tell your neighbor what that kind of car would be. The dream car. Just tell your neighbor once it comes to mind. So now you know what to get each other for Christmas. That's good, right? Your dream ride. All right, can I have a couple people just be bold enough to tell me what their dream ride would be, the dream car?
DeLorean.
A DeLorean, like from Back to the Future? That would just be awesome. Okay, a DeLorean, I'm with you. All right, who else has got a dream ride? What? A tractor. You are a practical man. What you got? 1969 Z28. So you got some detail. You got some detail in your fantasy. That's good. 1968 Camaro SS. Okay. I would be thinking about what for me is this is my midlife crisis. I'm aiming for this someday. It's going to be red. It's going to be a Mini Cooper. It's going to be a soft top. It's going to be turbo. And that's my plan. Okay. So in your little fantasy involving your Camaro or your DeLorean, or maybe your Mini Cooper. Okay, so in your little fantasy, this rich relative shows up, and the next day, with your car, they put the keys in your hot little hand, and they say, "Enjoy. Insurance has been paid, tabs have been paid, gas has been paid. It's all yours. Enjoy." Amen. Yeah, some of you already had church right now, except we're worshiping God, remember? About worshiping God. Okay, the story is not over yet. So you get into your sweet ride. You get into your sweet ride, and you turn over the ignition, and you can just hear that Mini Cooper purring. It's good, you know, or your Corvette or whatever it is in your mind. Some of you, your tractor, whatever it is. Okay, it's good. It's just turned over, and it's fantastic. But what the thing you didn't know is that. In your driveway, right in front of the front tire, we don't know how it got there. It might have been your jealous neighbor because you've kind of been watching them anyways. There's a whole bunch of nails and screws. And so the moment you pull forward, some nails go into the front passenger side tire, and the tire deflates. So you start driving your car, and you're thinking, how come it's always pulling to the right all the time? It doesn't handle very well. It doesn't drive straight anymore. And it makes a funny sound. Now, in this scenario, there's a couple things you probably wouldn't assume. But I want to talk about them, okay? Just hang with me for a second. We're going to get to the point real soon, okay? Number one, you probably wouldn't assume that the car is junk. Right? Can't believe it. Mini Coopers, they're garbage. They only turn to the right. And they can only drive 15 miles an hour, and they make a whoop, 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 whoop sound all the time. What? I can't believe I ever wanted one. Red, soft top, turbo, take notes. Okay, I was wondering about that. You probably wouldn't make that assumption, would you? No, you wouldn't. Secondly, you wouldn't make the assumption, this is the way the car is supposed to be. What an awesome car. It always turns to the right. It doesn't make me go more than 15 miles an hour. I don't want to feel rushed, you know? It's great. What an amazing car. Or you would think, oh, this is the way the car is supposed to be. It's not as good as I thought it would be. It's not even what it was promised to be. In fact, I think my rich relative is mean. Why would they give me such a trashy car and get my hopes up and then crush them like that? You wouldn't think that, would you? What would you probably think instead? I've got to fix my flat tire. But here's the big idea. And we're going to be in Romans 8 today, so open your Bibles up, find them, or get some Bibles from the table over there. We want you to have a Bible. There are no words in human history more powerful than the words that you could hold in your hand or have in your phone or, you know, on your iPad. There are no more powerful words than that, and these are words that can change your life because they're God's word. But here's the big point, okay? You wouldn't assume that a car with a flat tire is junk, or you wouldn't assume that that's the way the car is supposed to be, but you do this to yourself all the time. You and I make those assumptions about ourselves and the world around us all the time. We come to those same two faulty conclusions. You look at your own life and you go, why can't I just keep my life running straight? Why do I keep veering off in different directions? And you think, I am a loser. I must be junk. I must be garbage. You wouldn't think that about your car, but you think that about yourself. Some of you. And I think if we're honest, all of us at times, we get so discouraged with our own brokenness. We get so discouraged with the things that we wish we could do better and the person that we wish we could be and we long we could be, and we discover that we're not, but we come to the faulty assumption. I must be trash. I must be useless. I must be worthless. Or secondly, we believe for ourselves, and this is one of the big discussions happening in culture right now. We assume that this is the way I'm supposed to be. Well, God must have made me this way. And so that's who I am. And either you celebrate every aspect of my identity, or you don't really love me. We do this in our marriages. Baby, when you married me, you knew I was like this. I mean, you said, you know, you said I do. You knew I was selfish and self-centered and greedy and a tightwad, and that's who I am. You either love me or don't love me. We wouldn't assume it about a car, but we assume it about ourselves. We either make our brokenness our identity, this is who I am, take it or leave it, or we assume ourselves to be trash. And neither one is true. Today we're going to look at, as we're in Romans chapter 8, and if you have the church Bibles, it'd be page number 787, that we need to hold tight to two truths simultaneously, okay? The first is this, that God loves you without condition. You are not junk. You are the sweet ride. You are the gift of God to this world. God puts you on this planet for a purpose, for a reason, like we learned last week. You are appointed. You have an appointment. You have an appointment to be born at this time and in this place. You are no accident. God loves you without condition and has you with a purpose. And at the same time, God is not through with you yet. Not everything that exists in this world, in the world outside of you, or the world inside of you is as it should be. I mean, look to your left, look to your right. Do you need any more evidence that the world is messed up? Now look on the inside, look on the inside. Now that should seal the deal, shouldn't it? I'm not right. Something's not right with this. In here. And God's not finished with me yet. God's not finished with the universe yet. And so we're going to look at this incredible, just powerful, powerful passage. And it's linked to this prayer. We've been in a series about some of the assumptions that we make about life and God and stuff like that. And this is a prayer. Is that we would experience a holy discontent with where our lives are. And know the hope of where our lives could be. A little bit like you're looking at your Camaro with that flat tire and you think, that's an amazing car. It just needs some repair work, is all. That's you, and that's me. Okay, Romans 8. We're going to start in verse 18. Okay, so I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. What will be revealed in us? What's God's long-term intention for you? Glory. That's what will be revealed in us. And are all the things, the rotten stuff we go through today, how does that compare? It doesn't. It's incomparable, which is kind of ironic because we just compared it. But anyways, it's incomparably better. God's plan for you is incomparably better than anything that you are going through right now. For the creation waits in eager anticipation, verse 19, for the children of God to be revealed. Verse 20, for the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom, and what's the word? Glory of the children of God. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, we learn of God's instruction to our first father, Adam, as he was placed in the garden, and God gave him this instruction to work it and care for it. As humans, we've been placed over creation with the purposes to care for it. Now, have you ever been in a job where you've had a really bad boss? A couple of you can't answer that question today. Just keep that quiet. Okay. So, have you ever been in a job where you've had a really bad boss? How was the work environment? Not good. Well, creation's got a bad boss. It's got bad management over it. Who's that? It's us. Humans. Creation is in frustration, waiting for the children of God to be revealed, the Bible teaches us. Waiting for the fullness of God's work in God's people to take place. What verse were we on? Okay, here we go. Here we go. Verse 22. Okay. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. So the creation has this longing, this pain. Now, I've witnessed childbirth a couple of times, and ladies, it looks like it hurts. It appears that you are quite uncomfortable. That's just my observation. You look at the world around us, and the world around us is in pain too, isn't it? What's it waiting for? The Bible tells us it's waiting for the children of God to be revealed. In other words, for the God's work in us, God's work in the human race to be brought to maturity. The whole universe aches for it. Like you've ever been to labor and delivery ward and you see, you know, the couples walking around and like they're very uncomfortable, but they're there with a purpose. They're looking forward to that moment happening soon, usually. You know, Pitocin. They want it to happen quickly. But they're looking forward to it, even though it's painful. The world around us is in pain, and it's looking forward to God's redemptive work in us and through us. Verse 23, not only so, but we ourselves groan inwardly as we eagerly await for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. We long for God's redemptive work in us too. And you know, if you don't long so much for it, if you're married, I bet your spouse does. They're looking forward for the fullness of God's work to happen in you. They're looking forward to you growing. They're looking forward to you exhibiting greater degrees of the fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We long for that in ourselves. We long for that in the people around us. Verse 24, in this hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they have already have? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. And in verse 26, this is just amazing, okay? In the same way, who? The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for. Isn't that comforting knowledge? We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes to us through wordless groans. The Spirit of God is longing for the good work of God to be happening in you. And God prays for you. Get that in your head. Isn't that amazing? God prays for you. It says this with wordless groans. If they were words, I wonder what God would be saying, you know, about me, about you. He longs for the fullness of his intentions for me and for you to be revealed. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And then verse 28, okay. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. You know, not every situation in life is as God intended. We are not fatalists. You know, we don't believe that just because the tire's flat, that's the way it's supposed to be. And so just because something happens, we don't say, oh yeah, that must be God's will. But what we do know is that in every moment, there is opportunity for God's work to occur. There is no situation, there is no person beyond God's capacity to work something redemptive through it. And even the worst, most awful, and atrocious things in your life you have gone through, well, we don't necessarily know the intention behind it. We know that God can work something good through it. He can redeem it. He can use it. He has got good intentions for you. He's got good intentions for me. Now, as we go through this passage, I just want you to notice something. Who's doing all the redemption in this thing? Who gets the credit for all the work? God. God. God's doing the redemptive work. No more than the car can fix its own flat tire. You cannot change your own heart. I cannot change my own heart. Who can? God. The Holy Spirit. And God's redemptive work is happening in you and me all the time if we'll just let him. Now the car cannot change its own tire. But you know what the car can do? The car can stay close to a mechanic. And the mechanic can change the tire. The car can drive to the garage. And the garage can change the tire. You know, that's just like what it is for you and me. God has good intentions for you in every day, in every situation. He longs for you. I mean, the universe groans for us to get it together. But it's not about us, you know, modifying or policing our own moral behavior. It's about the transformative work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Now, there are times where in behavior, sometimes you just need, Jesus wants you to knock it off. Some of you, that's what you need to come to church today. Jesus, whatever you're thinking about doing to this afternoon, Jesus wants you to knock it off. Just don't do it, especially guys. Don't do that, whatever it is. But see, that's not actually transforming. That's not transformation. That's just not doing something dumb. The Holy Spirit can change the heart, can help us to want new things, to help us to think new thoughts, to feel new feelings. Because all of our actions, they flow out of the heart. Jesus says, out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. And Philippians tells us that he who began a good work in you is going to be faithful to complete it. Let's just finish off the passage here. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of who? Of his son. That he, in other words, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. In other words, God's long-term intention for you is that you would become more like Jesus. The same character attributes and traits, his compassion, his love, his boldness, his grace, his humility, his accurate self-assessment, that all of that would in increasing measure become yours. That's God's long-term will for you and for me. In our own individual ways, our own individual pieces of the puzzle. I like that analogy that Mackenzie used earlier. Each of us, you know, all kind of working together. But that's God's will. Each in our own way to do that. So here's the really big idea I just ask you to wrestle with, and it's related to this prayer. Do you want to grow? I mean, the universe is groaning for God's redemptive work in you. The people around you are probably at times groaning for God's redemptive work in you, that you would become more like Jesus, that God's work in you would come to greater fulfillment. Do you long for that for yourself? And maybe if you don't today, simply to ask God to help you to want it. Lord, help me to want to grow. Help me to want to go deeper in my faith. If you're married, Lord, help me to want to be a better spouse. If you've been blessed with children or grandchildren or maybe even great-grandchildren, Lord, help me to leverage that opportunity in the best ways possible. God, I want to want it. And I know that you're not finished with me yet. That you see capacity and potential. And you don't so much love me for my performance. You already love me and value me, but you see so much more that could be happening in my life, in my heart, in who I am, in my walk with you, in my intimacy with Christ. And, oh God, I want it. I want it. And I would encourage you, challenge you, to think about putting yourself into environments where, just like a car is closer to a mechanic, to put yourself in environments where you have an opportunity to grow. In a couple weeks, we're going to be firing up the winter semester of connection groups. We're super excited about it. And as the series starts up, I'm going to put a number of challenges in front of you. And so I'm just going to put them up now so you can kind of think about it, you know. Like, attend weekly or listen to the weekly message online. Number two, participate in a connection group of some sort. We've got 17 groups, great leaders, lots of variety. One should fit, but maybe you've somehow come up with a great excuse why none of these groups fit for you. But maybe. I don't really care whether or not you fit into one of our official groups. Do something off the grid, but one way or another, you need other Christians in your life. You need to be intentionally fostering relationships where you're talking about your faith and you're intentionally encouraging each other. I don't really care how you do it, but I care and I long for you so much that you're there. And if you don't want it, I long for you to long for it. Does that make any sense? That's the prayer. That we would have a degree of holy discontent with where our lives are right now. God, I want to grow in my faith. I want to grow deeper. I want to love you more. Increase my affection for your word. Increase my affection for my affection for your church, for your people, for your mission in this world. Increase my affection for the lost and the broken and the hurting in this world. I want to grow. Let your spirit do that work in me. To engage in daily devotions of some sort. We're going to have these neat booklets, kind of walking through the book of James, verse by verse and related passages. And, we'll have stuff on Facebook. I mean, we're trying to put it in so many environments, you have to kind of trip over it to go, I don't want to do my devotions today. We're really going to try to make it hard for you to avoid thinking about God on a daily basis. That's our job. But your job is to want it. And I want you to want it. Hear this from the heart of your pastor. I want you to want it. Maybe memorize sections of the book of James. We're going to have some memory verses. Or one of the women's groups, they're doing this. I think it's this brilliant idea of just write out the book of James by hand over the course of 7 weeks. Just to get God's word into you. And, the book of James is all about applying your faith. Find a new area of service. My goal for us as a church is that pretty much 100% of our church in one way or another would be engaged in service on a weekly basis. About 40% of that being service inside the ministries of the church. There's a lot of ways to serve inside the church, but there's a lot more ways to serve in the community. Some of you are called to ministry inside the church to to build up the body. I mean, that's my ministry, is to encourage and to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Some of you are called to go out, to do ministry outside of the church. It is a soccer coach, or you're building a house, or you're teaching in a literacy program, or you're stocking a food bank. Just seek the Lord and put your faith into action. I want you to want it. I want you to want to grow. That's my prayer. That's my prayer. And I hope that's your prayer too. So I'd like us to be praying together, and we just do some business with God on this question. Do you want to grow in your faith? Do you want to grow in your marriage? Grow in your parenting? Grow in your service? And if you don't want it, will you pound on the doors of heaven? Find a way to put yourself under the waterfall of God's grace, that He can do that work in you so that you could want it for yourself. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the promise that you are not finished with us yet, that your work in the world is incomplete, and your work in me is incomplete. Lord, I pray for my friends here. We really easily beat ourselves up when we start thinking about all the things that we don't do right. And we assume ourselves to be trash, or we assume ourselves to be junk, worthless, useless. Lord, we pray you'd liberate us from that lie. And Lord, at the same time, may we long on a heart level to grow, to increasingly engage in the fullness of what you would have for us, that we would mature and become more like Christ, that we exhibit increasingly the fruit of the Spirit in our life, that we would have a hunger and a longing for a sincere desire for your word, for your church and for your work and for your people. Lord, begin that work in me. We call out to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.